Over 30 Petersburg residents are gathered at the local library to learn about bats and a volunteer citizen science program. It's coordinated seasonally through the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, but relies heavily on local volunteers like Sunny Rice.
So you go out to the end of the road at night, which is just kind of cool because I wouldn't normally drive the Three Lakes Loop Road at night.
Rice participated last year, which meant hooking up acoustic bat equipment to her car and driving slowly down a logging road on Mitcuff Island for about an hour.
When a bat comes, it's really clear what it is. So then you've heard it, and then you could keep driving around, and you're sort of guessing, if you're familiar with where you are, oh, I think there's totally going to be bats here, or maybe there's going to be bats at this place where I go blueberry picking. So it's like a treasure hunt, kind of.
Her results were uploaded into an online database that includes information from surveys all over the region. Southeast Alaska has five main bat species, which mostly roost in trees during the summer days and hibernate through the winter in cracks in rocks, talus slopes, and stumps. This creates consistent temperatures and humidity throughout the winter. But the mothers use maternity roosts that are a little warmer, usually in old-growth snags on the south side of trees. Driving surveys are being done in five communities in Southeast. Over 150 volunteers have recorded over 1,700 bat calls. Most of those were identified by species. The surveys found that most bats are little brown bats, except in Sitka, which had more silver-haired bats. Little brown bats were found all along Petersburg's route, but silver-haired bats were found only on the back Three Lakes Loop portion. The survey found just one hoary bat in the entire region, which was in Haines last year. Scientists are in a hurry to learn about Alaska's populations because of a fungal disease called white nose syndrome. Since the disease was discovered a decade ago, it's wiped out 7.5 million bats in the lower 48. It irritates the bats, causing them to wake early from hibernation, and then they starve from lack of food. It can also affect the skin of their wings. Bats can't take that kind of pressure because they don't multiply very quickly. The little brown bat, for example, lives for over 30 years, and the females have only one pup per year.
And so we're racing against the clock to try to establish any information we can about bat populations in the event that white nose syndrome comes to Alaska.
That's Tori Rhodes, a scientist with the state. Besides collecting regional data, Fish and Game has partnered with British Columbia on educating the public about bat translocations, when bats accidentally hitch a ride in things like rolled-up camping gear or in Christmas trees from farms, and end up hundreds of miles away. Rhodes says the bat's most common mode of hitchhiking is by boat.
Given that Southeast Alaska is a very maritime-dependent industry, not just with our cargo, but also with our fishing vessels, a lot of which are docked down in Washington over winter and then come here in the spring. That is where we are most vulnerable, and it isn't too far of a stretch to say that if white nose comes to Alaska, it could very, very, very likely be by way of a stowaway bat on a ship somewhere.
So why care about bats and their populations? Well, one reason is because all of Southeast's bats are major insect eaters. Just one bat can eat 5,000 insects a night. They navigate in the dark using sound or echolocation. They make clicking noises, and those sound waves bounce off objects, letting them know where things are.
So it's going click, 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 click. Oh, there's a bug. Click, 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 click.
That's Steve Lewis with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He's been studying bats for over 20 years. He takes out a little metal box that fits in your hand. This bat detector can translate calls into something that human ears can hear. He asks a boy in the front row to lightly rub his fingers in front of the speaker.
I'm going to divide the sound of your fingers by 8. Let's rub it right in front of there.
The box is used during the driving surveys, attached to the top of the volunteer's car. It records bat calls while a GPS tracks the location. Volunteers cover the same route, at the same 20-mile-per-hour speed, at the same time of day, 45 minutes after sunset. Then, Lewis, Rhodes, and their colleagues use the winter months to sift through all of the collected data. The information is uploaded online for the public to view. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.